after hearing about Amos and John the Baptist? Why aren't you running out the door? These are unbearable stories. Clearly, both Amos and John the Baptist are stories about speaking truth to power. And Amaziah and King Herod are stories about the powerful who didn't pass the plumb line test. These stories don't end up well. They are very real. There's no rose-colored glasses here. These are unbearable stories. So, why are we still here? Well, let me pose an answer. Because these stories, as unbearable as they are, these stories are our stories. And these stories, our stories, are joined to Jesus' story. Well, let's begin with Amos. He puts a plumb line to the king, the people of power. You don't measure up. You sell the poor for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals. You trample upon the head of the poor into the dust of the earth. Your courts are full of fraud. Here is the plumb line. As I mentioned in the children's message, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness as an ever-flowing stream. These are words of judgment. And we don't often respond well to judgment. And people in power do so even less. We don't like judgments that would call on us to examine our country's history and policies. And we don't like judgments that prompt us to examine our church's mission and witness to see if it's in line with the vision of God. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, certainly did not enjoy and respond well to these words of judgment. As the religious official represented the king, Amaziah was not appreciative of this no-bars-hold critique of his kingdom and the suggestion that Jeroboam would fall. Amaziah makes clear that Amos and his proclamations are not welcome in the sanctuary. O seer, go and flee away. Go back home. Go south and earn your bread there and never come back. So Amos was forced to leave and return to his native country to the south in utter failure. And alas, King Jeroboam and his northern kingdom were destroyed by Assyria, never to be heard from again. This is an unbearable story. But even more unbearable, I think, is John the Baptist. Many of you know how that story began. As a herald at birth, an angel came to his father, Zechariah, and said, there's going to be a special child born to you and Elizabeth. He will be a great prophet, be a forerunner of the Messiah. And when John the Baptist came of age, he was anxious to take up his vocation. He took on a very austere lifestyle. You remember the locusts and wild honey? Good. And he baptized Jesus. Everything was going swimmingly. But he then lands in prison for speaking the truth to power. He reprimands King Herod for marrying his brother's wife. And he gets his head chopped off during a birthday celebration by a clueless girl, a heartless wife, and a cowardly king. Now that's an unbearable story. Both Amos and John are David's, going against Goliath. But it doesn't end up like David and Goliath. Goliath wins. Probably the more likely result when those two go against each other. And we can fast forward and see how this plays out even in more recent times. Martin Luther King Jr., Bishop Oscar Romero from El Salvador, and most recently, Russian dissident Alexei Navalny, speaking truth to power. Don't do it unless you look good on wood. But are not we, as followers of Jesus, called to speak truth to power? And yes, it didn't end up well for Jesus either. But more on that later. What about the Goliaths? Amaziah and King Herod. People in power. What are we to make of them? Acknowledging that I would guess most of you, are people in power. We never think so, I don't think. But in the grand scheme of the world, we are people of power. So first there's Amaziah. We don't know much about him. He's a king-employed priest, a yes man, you could say. And he wants to protect the king from any word that's negative about his kingdom and could disturb the status quo. Because the status quo is serving them all quite well. And it's easy to be critical of Amaziah, saying, you should have listened to Amos. It would have turned out better. But so often are we so unlike Amaziah, wanting to listen only to those who confirm our perspective, ignoring and disdaining those who would dare to offer an opposing position? Are we not like Amaziah so often, preferring our faith to make us comfortable instead of challenging us to something new? And then there's Herod. He would be easy to write off as pure evil. But we see he's really a very complicated person. Mark's gospel tells us that Herod enjoys listening to John. He enjoys listening to someone who's reprimanding him and saying, you're living in sin. Well, somehow, sometimes that's the way truth works. Often it compels us. Even though we fear it, we know we need it. Whatever the case, I think we can imagine Herod sitting outside of John the Baptist's cell, listening, asking questions, pondering, fearing, hoping. Herod was a complex person. But then the rubber hits the road. And Herod doesn't stand up for what he knows is right. But instead, he passively goes along with the wishes of his wife and her daughter and grants the terrible wish of beheading John the Baptist. He fails the plumb line test. Now, if you're anything like me, you're thinking, now, wait a minute, Herod's nothing like me. And that's probably true. But I wonder if the questions we need to ask ourselves in light of Herod's questions are maybe more subtle than beheading. Such as, do I value my status, my reputation, my popularity with others, more than I do the truth? Am I so bent on conflict avoidance that I harm others with my passivity? Or do I speak the truth when others are speaking falsehoods, demeaning others, or committing microaggressions toward women and people of color? When I choose silence for the sake of convenience, whose life becomes expendable? Who do I serve up on a silver platter? Whose vulnerability do I depend on and benefit from to keep my own comforts intact? These are plumb line questions. Those questions I suspect that John asked, questions that Jesus does ask, and questions that got both of them killed. Is this starting to get overbearing? Is the tragedy too deep? The measurements too severe? Are you ready to leave yet? And run for the exits. Why are you still here? You're still here for the very same reason you're always here. Because these Bible stories are our stories. The questions we ask of the stories of Amos and Amaziah and King Herod and John are questions we ask of ourselves. We see ourselves in each of these characters. We have the courage to ask those questions because we are held in the love of God. We ask ourselves, how can I escape the trap that Amaziah and Herod fell into? How can I move out of the comfortable and the convenient and align myself with the new thing that God may be doing today? Why are we still here? Because God's Word, the stories of God's people, are joined to ours, and it cracks open our hearts, and Jesus' story is poured in. Jesus spoke truth to power. He held up the plumb line of love, forgiveness, generosity, community, justice. As you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. Forgive 70 times 7. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Jesus gives us a new way to live that turns the world upside down and us with it. As Mary sang in the Magnificat, He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. But we are well aware it didn't end up well for him. He was crucified. But this love of God, this new life of love that God pours into our hearts, our cracked hearts, our hearts that are so often overborne by the tragedies of life, this love of God could not stay dead. Jesus was raised up into that love that he had revealed and lived and shared. And all those that follow him are lifted up into that love as well. The unbearable becomes bearable because wonders of wonders, as we embrace that unbearable, as we are honest about that unbearable, and the cross stories of life, as we honestly enter them, through and in Jesus, the dark abyss yields to light. The darkness yields to brightness. Death yields to life. And suffering yields to healing. Now, here is where I am tempted to run away. Because I don't understand that. How can that be? And yet, it is beneath the cross of Jesus, that I long to take my stand. Because it is there and there alone that I am most human and most divine. It is in the suffering love of God, in the unbearable stories of life, that we receive hope. For it is there that we know the promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if any of you are not a follower of Jesus yet, I don't think I'm doing a very good job of encouraging you in that. But just like Amos and John, we are called to speak truth to power. We are called to love. We speak the truth in love. We speak the truth in power because of love. And because God in Jesus first loved us in and through the cross. We speak the truth in love for creation. We speak the truth in love for the powerless. We speak the truth in love for the powerful. We speak the truth in love because the plumb line is no longer outside of us and measuring us and judging us. The plumb line has been born in us as a new covenant. Justice and righteousness have flowed into our lives through the promise of our baptism. Those are baptismal waters that flow with justice and righteousness. So whether we live or die, whether we're successful or failure, we are the Lord's. And we love through it all as a pure gift of God. For again, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in that, love is joy. And in that, love is hope. And in that, love is the courage to speak the truth to power. And that is why we do not run away. Amen.